So today is our Feast of Pentecost, where we wear red and celebrate the birthday of the church. I think that's how I've most commonly heard it called, right? So you heard the kind of central piece of that story and the idea of where the disciples are gathered for the feast, for a Jewish feast, excuse me, and the Holy Spirit kind of moves among them and they start to speak. And all of these different kind of races and nationalities have been gathered in Jerusalem at this time for the feast. And they came from all different kinds of places. You heard that long list that Adam read about the different nations that people came from, the different traditions and languages. And they all exclaimed and they said, you know, we hear it in our own voice or in our own language. And how can this be, right? And they're amazed. And of course, some of the skeptics think that they're drunk. And Peter's defense is, it's only 9 in the morning. I'm not sure how strong a defense that is. But he goes on to talk about the gospel and about what the story of Jesus and what it means in this moment. That for these folks who had gathered, they would have known the tradition and the prophecy about the movement of the Spirit of God. See, a lot of us, and I think myself included, often fall into the trap of kind of writing the Holy Spirit off until Pentecost, as if the Holy Spirit wasn't at work in the world like the whole time leading up to Pentecost as well, and since. There's all these passages through the Hebrew Scriptures and in other parts of the Christian Scriptures that talk about the Holy Spirit. This is certainly one of the most striking, and this is the one that we kind of draw upon for this day. But the thing that really that struck me this week is the way in which I think I have and I kind of invite us into a very, very high view and high opinion of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how much of the church you've kind of experienced or been around to, but very often there are churches and traditions tend to kind of focus, whether they mean to or not, on a certain part of the Trinity, right? You know, we celebrate and we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, evangelical churches that are very, you know, big on conversion, very big on saving, you know, it's people's salvation and things like that, or that kind of tradition, if you've experienced that or know about that, tend to focus very heavily on Jesus, on the second person of the Trinity. Hopefully not to the exclusion of the rest, but that's definitely their focus, you know, and Pentecostal churches and charismatic churches tend to focus on the gifts of the Spirit and things like that. And then more mainline traditions, you know, like the Episcopal Church and others, are often kind of identify more with kind of God, God the Father, even though we get hung up on the gendered language. But the thing is that all three of these persons of the Trinity are central and are core to who we are and what we believe. And so I really like to spend time talking about the Spirit, because for me, I think that is maybe the most significant part of our day-to-day lives, right? The Spirit, I believe, and I think, I hope, has been many of our experience, if not all of our experience, is at work both in our lives, in this church, and in this world all the time. When we talk about evangelism, right, in our tradition, we don't usually mean standing on a street corner kind of like telling people about Jesus or telling people about different parts of the Bible. That's going to be very unusual for you to see an Episcopalian doing that. But we absolutely believe that the Spirit of God is at work in this world, and we want to invite other people into that as best as we can. The central part of my job, honestly, is inviting you all into that. The things that we do here in this place, what we gather at this table, what we're doing is inviting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but in the reality of the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and in our lives, to be the light of Christ in our world, and to send us and call us out into this world. I just got back from, I spent the week in Minnesota for the last part of this fellowship that I've been doing for about a year and a half. And the whole kind of purpose of this gathering and this cohort that I was a part of, this fellowship, was to experiment and to try to think about ways in which we can invite our congregations and our communities into seeing how and identifying the work of the Holy Spirit outside of our walls. You know, we come for Pentecost, we wave a dove in the air, we remember the stories of the scriptures, we talk about the story of Pentecost from Acts 2. But the most significant work of the Holy Spirit isn't always in this room. In fact, I think it's probably less so in this room than in the rest of the world. We come here for refuge. We come here for peace. We come here for worship, right? We come here to glorify God and to receive the gifts of God that are given to us. But what all of this is about preparing and helping us to connect with what God has created and called us to, that when we go out into the rest of our lives, we have the opportunity to share a deeper love and joy and peace and mercy with those that we encounter and with those that we meet. I think that is just as important now as maybe it has ever been. And I am sure that our world is not crazier than it's ever been. It just feels that way, I think, sometimes. I don't know if it's the way we get our news and the fact that the news tends to focus and really kind of feed into a lot of the tragedy in our world. But I don't know about you, I can't turn on the news without something devastating being shared anymore. I mean, just this week, I mean, how many a shooting in Santa Fe in Texas, right? And snipers shooting protesters in Israel and Gaza. There's some very intense and heavy things that we have to interact with and deal with in this world. And I would be remiss to pretend like it just doesn't happen, and to pretend like that's not the world that we spend our lives in every day. I think for a long time, the church has put a lot of energy, and Christians have often put a lot of energy into trying to almost create a utopia kind of in this space, right? You know, this kind of sanctuary. That's the word we use, right? I think that's okay. I think we need sanctuary. We need a refuge. We need a place to go. But we can never live here in this world alone. Because if we stay here, if we stay in the places of safety in our lives, if we stay where we don't need to worry or don't need to fear, we are missing out on the opportunity to share God's love and joy in the world. And I can't tell you how to do that. I can't tell you what God is calling you to. And I don't want to try to do that. I know it looks something like love. It looks something like mercy, and it looks something like joy. But how that interacts with you, how God calls you into the world in that, is for you to explore. That's what I think the walk of the Christian is. That's what this baptism that we initiate Declan into today. It's about inviting one another into where God is moving in our lives and calling us into this world. This idea of an advocate from the Gospel of John, I think, is so important, because that's language that is used, both this word that's used in the Greek in the New Testament, but also in our kind of context, as an attorney, right? Or someone that stands with us when we are accused. The language of the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel is one who stands with us and stands beside us when no one else does. That's the promise of God to us. That's what we hold on to when we go out into the places of this world that aren't safe and don't feel safe or protected. We go out with the encouragement and the strength of our God who stands with us through everything. No matter what we might feel condemned by, whatever we might feel beleaguered by or ashamed of, whatever it is in this world that you just think about, and when you look at yourself and you're just frustrated or you're just upset or you just feel depressed about, God stands with you in that place and in that moment. And I guess kind of what all these pieces are about is just about the messiness of the gospel that we celebrate and that we live in. I wish it was clean and simple. I wish it was just, you know, A to B to C to D and you're good. But it's confusing and it's weird and it's conflicted. And I don't know about you, but I ask all kinds of questions and I have all kinds of doubts and I have all kinds of things that I wrestle with, both within and without of this church. And I want us to live in that. because there's this really great line that I heard this week where someone talked about, I don't really want to, he said, I don't really want to send you out or encourage you to go out necessarily in peace. I know that's the language of our church. But to go out in bravery, he said, right? Because this world is such an intense and emotional place. And so as you go out, I invite you to take risks. I invite you to listen to and seek out the Spirit in whatever you do. I invite you to live boldly and to be open to God's grace and to God's love every step of the way. Because God loves you as you are. God has created you and celebrates you. And yes, we are changing and we are growing and we are a different person tomorrow. We will be a different person tomorrow than we are today, and we're a different person today than we were yesterday. There is change and growth and transformation in our lives. But wherever along that path you are, know that God loves you. Know that you don't need to do anything to be more for God. You don't need to do anything to be better for God to love you more or for God to be able to love you or care for you. You are God's children. That's the message. That's what this is all about. That's what creation is groaning about. It's waiting for Jesus, for the Spirit to come into this world and to invite us into new life and to invite us into peace and joy. And so as you wrestle with the things of this life, with the ups and the downs, the joys and the pains, the sorrows and the happiness of our lives, know that you're not alone. Know that the Spirit of God is with you and goes before you. That in whatever you do, God will care for you and be with you. And the people of God that gather around you will be here to support you. And that's part of what kind of our baptismal service is, right? We gather up here, and before we do anything, before we baptize or do anything as part of the sacrament, we all gather together and say, and join together in saying, we will support this child and these persons in their life in Christ. We don't do any of this stuff alone. We are sent out into the world as the people and as the church of God with the Holy Spirit alongside of us. And so wherever you are, whatever you're wrestling with or wherever you find yourself in life, whether this is a high point in life, a low point in life, or somewhere in between, know that God is with you and loves you, that you do not need to worry about God's love and grace in your life. And that you have the opportunity to embrace that and to see where it takes you in this world. And I invite you to let it take you into maybe unusual or scary places. I invite you to let it take you into this world where God is already at work, where God is moving, and where God is calling us to join with them in love. Amen.